I spent all night on this presentation and it still looks so boring.
Try Adobe Express. It's fast with templates and AI features for stunning presentations, flyers and socials.
Nice. Where do I start?
You can get it for free in your app store.
Adobe Express, the quick and easy create anything app. Free.
1.49 at McDonald's gets you a mini Oreo McFlurry. 1.49 on a big night out gets you...
Sorry, no trainers.
McDonald's save a menu. Actually get your money's worth. From 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
To Pit. I'm Allie Peek. He's DJ Pittinger. We are talking all things sports, maybe a little pop culture, depends on the episode, but everything that's going on here and now in sports, lots of stuff to catch up on. But first, what did you do for Kara for Mother's Day?
Oh, man. All right. So I've got a good one. I won the day on Mother's Day for sure. Two or three weeks ago, I got in like $300 from just kind of like a side project that I had done. And it wasn't like out of my pay and it wasn't from, you know, the company that I work for. Truly just had like $300 fun dollars, and I put it on a bet. It was actually the Braves to beat the Yankees, and it was the San Jose Sharks to win by a goal and a half. So they ended up winning by three and the Braves beat the Yankees. So both those things hit. The parlay paid out $1,000. I actually had some buddies over for a beer night that night, and I told them if this bet hits, I'm going to take that $300 and I'm going to turn it into, it's $1,000. You won. So it turned into $1,300. And with that, I bought Kara a Louis for Mother's Day.
Good for you.
She flipped out. I'll send you the video when we get off of here. It was fantastic. She obviously had no clue. Getting it was very difficult. They're kind of out everywhere. But was able to get one, had a buddy, shout out my guy, Sean. He doesn't listen to this, but shout out my guy, Sean, for running down to Naples and well, he lives close to there, but running out to the Naples store and getting one and bringing it up to me. And, the day was saved and I won the day. Like, she was so shocked. And then it was even better when I got to tell her, like, we didn't really even spend this much money. Like, you know, Bovada paid $1,000. Bovada paid $1,000 of it.
Kara deserves that, being married to you, though. So,
oh my goodness. You know. The greatest gift was my presence.
Oh my God.
She's like, it was funny too, because she would never expect that. She's not a very material person at all. But she was asked, I had been asking her, knowing full well that I already had it, right? I'd been asking, right. Okay, what do you want for Mother's Day? What do you want me to get you? What do you want? And she's like, I don't know. You don't have to get me anything. And then like the night before, she's like looking at these Kate Spade bags. And she's like, oh, could we get one of these? And I said, let's talk about it in the morning. Cause I didn't want to spend the extra like 150, you know, because of what I knew she had coming. And I knew she'd never use it once she got the
1,000%. Yeah.
So anyways, I was like, yeah, that's fine. And she's like, oh, that's why you didn't want to buy that last night. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to wait on it. So no, it went really, really well. She hasn't, I think she like I slept on the couch last night and she slept with it. So like it's, she's in love with it. So how about on your side? Did Eric get you anything
well,
like that? I even need to go yell at him if
was well, I did not get a Louis Vuitton, and yes, I will be.
Did you know the TJ?
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. He'll.
And they only have two. And they only have two kids.
So we had to go over to Daytona on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon because Hadley was competing in states on Sunday, on actually Mother's Day. So. 3-hour drive to Daytona with four kids to begin with.
Do they not look at these things when they're scheduling it?
Yeah. It was like the most mother thing ever that the States was on Mother's Day. And it was kind of complicated because she didn't she didn't even have to be at the competition till 3. And as you know, like most hotels, you have to check out by 11. We were able to get a late checkout at 1, but we couldn't push it any further than that. We really didn't want to spend the night because it is a 3-hour drive. And so you spend the night, drive the 3 hours, Monday, half the day's gone work-wise for, you know, for Eric and stuff. So we really did want to leave after the competition. So just that in itself was kind of hard because we had to find something to do to kill time that didn't make Hadley tired, you know, wasn't running around, wasn't in the sun, wasn't whatever, but also didn't really confine the babies because they were about to be confined in a stroller, for the 3 hours of her competition and then in the car. So it was kind of stressful, but, and also Daytona was packed, little gymnasts everywhere. So Saturday night, we finally found a restaurant that wasn't like an hour long wait. We went to Land Shark, which is Jimmy Buffett's restaurant, mm-hmm. Which was good. And, and the babies are like teething, like you wouldn't believe. So they basically just like cried this entire trip, which was awesome. But anyway, we go to dinner, get back, go to bed. Babies basically don't sleep most of the entire night. And not only do they not sleep, but they're like screaming. And we tried when we checked in to see if we could get an adjoining room. That way, like Eric and the big girls could sleep in that room and I could sleep in a room with the babies because they were so fussy that we were like, didn't want them to wake the girls up and Hadley to have a bad night's sleep. Anyway, didn't seem to bother Hadley and Hayden at all through the night. And I had like sound machines placed strategically around the room, but they were up most of the night. So finally they're both asleep, the babies on me, you know, Eric, me and 2 babies in a queen size bed, which is super fun anyway. And I'm like pinned on my back, but they're asleep. This is such a mother's thing too. Hadley leans over, mom. I'm like, what? She's like, Hayden's feet are on me. 5:45 in the morning. Both babies pick their heads up, start screaming.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So of course,
I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. On Mother's Day? So I'm like, lay down and go back to sleep. Like they don't wake up that early during, their regular life, and we're in a pitch black hotel room,
right?
And they had been out till 10 o'clock the night before, at the beach and the pool and stuff. Like, go to sleep. What is going on? So they basically mess around for another like hour and 10 minutes. The babies are off and on crying the whole time, where it's finally like, fine, get up. We'll all get up. Like, whatever. We'll all get up. So we went to breakfast. My children, I swear, were like horribly behaved all day Mother's Day. Hadley did great at her competition. She had a personal best for her all-around score. She got 3rd in vault, 3rd on floor, 5th on beam, and 6th on bars. And she finished 6th all-around in the state, which they divided her level, which is level 2, into 4 subdivisions. And it was based on your previous high score, all-around score. And Hadley's highest all-around score was a 37.1. The highest of the 4 divisions started at a 37.0. So she qualified to be in the very hardest division by literally 1/10 of a point. So the fact that she, you know, got 3rd in a couple things and 5th and 6th and 6th overall was great. She did really well. And then we drove home, couldn't find a restaurant on the way home that was open. And everybody had a sign on the door saying, can't find employees. Sorry, we're closed.
Wow.
I kid you not. We stopped at 4 fast food restaurants across the street from the Daytona 500. So like on the main drag in Daytona, and they were all closed, which was just like wild. But so we get home, the kids are all asleep, carry them up, put them in their bed, whatever. I wake up on Monday morning and it's like 7:15, walk past my bathroom. Somehow my ninja children had carried their IKEA little black kids table up the stairs into my bedroom, into my bathroom, put it next to my bathtub, made me waffles with whipped cream and coffee, and had a vase with a flower in it and a note that said, we're sorry we ruined Mother's Day. We have a redo.
That's adorable. Had
me eat my waffles and take a bath, which of course, while they watched, which was, you know, again, another mother thing. But it was a very motherly Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And they did get me presents and stuff, but 4th of July blanket I don't know if you've noticed being at my house, but we have a blanket for every single holiday.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
because my children gift me a holiday blanket for every occasion.
At random time. Well, I guess that's the next major holiday coming up. So I guess
I have like yeah, that's what they do it for. But like my birthday a couple years ago, sloths with witch hats on brooms. I have unicorns with Christmas Santa hats on.
Yeah, I mean, you're a big
sloth and unicorn fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've lost it. Yeah, I was going to say Halloween. You're a big Halloween fan.
I am. I'm a big fall fan, but it was good. They got me some Lululemon, which is my favorite, and some monogram pajamas. We all know I love a good monogram. So yeah, it was good. It was interesting. It was something.
Our kids are little enough now. We'll get off Mother's Day here so that people can hear what they actually came for.
Sorry, guys.
We're not done just yet. Our kids are so small that like the grandparents and stuff, like, so we went to lunch with my mom and Kara's mom. We went to Eulalie. We got up, you know, did the whole purse thing, went to church, yeah. drove downtown, went to Eulalie.
Yeah. You told me you had a reservation there. You've had it for a long time.
Yeah. Cause it's hard to get reservations on Mother's Days. The grandparents are great because our kids are still so small that like they just held the kids the whole time. Like they want to hold them and like sit with them and stuff. And so like we just got to eat kind of a nice meal. And then my kids went back to the in-laws' house. They go over there on Sundays. And so it worked out perfectly.
Well, they want to take my kids too. They're welcome to.
My Mother's Day was a little easier than yours, I think.
Well,
I celebrate it for you. So,
well, thanks.
All right, cool. So, where are we starting today? We got some big news in northeast Florida. Northeast Florida. What's going on?
North Florida for sure. So, Tim Tebow is joining the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is funny because as soon as Urban Meyer got hired, that's been the running joke, right? Like, how long till Tebow's on the roster? I have to say, I honestly didn't really think it was going to actually happen. I mean, it's been almost a decade since he played professional football. I understand that he is still in shape and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, this is a person who has had a full-time job with ESPN and has played Major League Baseball. Like, he's lived a whole life since the last time that he played NFL football. And not only is he joining the roster, but he's joining the roster at a different position than he's ever played. Which is also, I kind of used to always roll my eyes at the people that would say, I don't understand why Tim doesn't just go play tight end, you know, or fullback or whatever. He needs to just switch positions and then he'd have a spot on a roster. And I always felt like that was way oversimplifying things, because to assume that somebody could just out of the blue decide that they played a different position in the NFL is super far-fetched to me. Right? Like, if you're a fullback that makes it in the NFL or tight end that makes it in the NFL, it's because you busted your ass in high school and college and were the top 1% in college and then made an NFL roster. And I think that it's kind of insulting to guys like that to just be like, oh, well, if you're not good at one position, just go play a different one. But
so what Tebow's done here is disgusting to you.
Listen.
Well, it's okay because he did it, because it's Tebow. I'm the same way with Jameis. I get it.
I'm skeptical that it will work. I will say
that's
that.
What I was going to ask you. Yeah, like
that it will work, but
do we really? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
This is what I'll say. It doesn't surprise me that Urban Meyer sticks his neck out for Tim Tebow. I think they've both stuck their neck out for each other repeatedly over the past 15 years that they've had a relationship, right? Like a friendship. I think that at the very least, it's going to prove once and for all whether this is what should have happened. He should have switched positions. He, you know, whatever. I think if there's a coach that's going to give him unlimited attempts to make this roster, like every single accommodation, every single chance to make this roster, it will be Urban Meyer. If it doesn't work, it for sure won't be because there was any politics at play, right? Yeah. If Urban Meyer cuts Tebow from the final roster, like if he is not sitting on that final roster, it will be for no other reason other than the fact that Urban couldn't justify him being on the roster. It won't be because he was afraid that he was going to take more attention away from his starting quarterback. It won't be because he prays too much. It won't be because people show up at practice and want to see him, even though he's, you know, at best going to have, you know, a 10 play package each game. If he doesn't make that roster, it will be because Urban Meyer legitimately can't figure out a way to make it work. Because if there's the second most person on the planet that wants it to work is Urban Meyer.
Right? So that or UF Twitter one. But I don't know. I agree with you on the fact that I just don't see it working out. Like there's just no, Eric would know this, right? And you know this from being around it too. And obviously around him, but like, you know, there's no substitute for, yeah, he could be as in shape as he wants, but there's no substitute for like that game shape, that training shape. It's like to be out of that for 10 years.
That's true. However, like I think he trains at such a different level than your average person.
Your average NFL caliber
player. Like, I mean,
Starters in the NFL, not, and again, a position he's never, I think it has to do not, it's not so much an in shape thing to me. It's more of like understanding and learning the position and guys that have been playing it and being away from the game is different today than it was 10 years ago.
But being a broadcaster probably helps that because of the amount
more than
another guy that's out of the game.
It would help him more than it would help me or you, but it doesn't help him again, compared to guys that are in the NFL.
Than an average guy who has been in the NFL and now is waiting for another opportunity. Right.
If the guy has been out of the NFL for the same amount of time, if the guy played in the NFL last year, but how many people fall into that description though? Like how many guys leave the NFL for any length of time and ever get back in? Like it almost never happens.
Guys that happen, but it's more like a year and a half.
Right. They're on a practice squad.
Or they're rehabbing an injury for multiple years,
leaving for a decade.
No.
And they come back for a new position.
No. And I think having been a quarterback helps you with the tight end because I do think that you kind of have to know everybody's role. To me, it would have made more sense to bring him in as a backup quarterback. You can carry four of them on your roster, right? Like in my mind, that would have made more sense because I think the biggest reason Urban Meyer wants him on this roster is because he is, he's an influencer. He is, he's great for a locker room. Trevor Lawrence has said repeatedly, Tim Tebow is his idol. He grew up wanting to be Tim Tebow. I think you could almost justify basically like a coach on your roster by putting him as your third or fourth string quarterback more so than I think you can really justify having him as a tight end. But we'll see. And this is kind of my thing too. I feel like I've read and seen a million things talking about how this is a sign of privilege or, it's only happened because Tim Tebow has such a good relationship with Urban Meyer. Like, yes, that is exactly why it happened, because Tim Tebow has this relationship with Urban Meyer. But if you think that this isn't what happens behind closed doors on all these NFL rosters, you're wrong. It just doesn't happen in the daylight like this does. I think this is shocking to people because they're like, holy cow, he's been out for a decade. How much pull must he have with Urban Meyer to make this happen? But if you guys had any idea the kind of wheeling and dealing that goes on in NFL locker rooms and, you know, this agent is friends with this coach, so this player stays, even though that player had better workouts and, you know, whatever else, like it's all political. We just don't get to see the politics right in front of our face like we're seeing with this. It just doesn't happen in the daylight. He's totally taking advantage of something being handed to him.
That's a fantastic point. So much of that happens at the college level, right?
1,000%. It happens at the high school level. It happens in pop Warner sports.
Politics play into all of that.
Life in general, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's who I have the job.
Not who you know, but you know. 1,000%. Yeah.
I have the
– And that doesn't make it fair, right? But it is what it is.
I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily unfair. I mean, relationships are important. You know, networking is important.
I just figure this. You know, if you're going to give a chance to somebody, I really don't
not?
Have an
why
issue
not?
With it being with someone who does so much good for other people and legitimately is a good person. Because I can promise you some of the people that are getting these chances behind closed doors aren't good people. So is it really that huge of a deal to bring him into camp? And you know what? If he sucks, he won't make the final roster. No harm, no foul.
It's interesting for us. It feels like, I don't know. It feels a little gimmicky to me, right?
Urban Meyer's entire existence has been gimmicky though, right? And it's worked.
I mean, we've talked about it not working at the NFL level, right? Like coaches, I think coaches have such a, the drawbacks, and I get why Meyer did it, right? But the drawbacks, and at the end of the day, it's probably just a talking point because it probably doesn't work out. So here's the thing.
If it does work out and he makes the roster, he plays 10 plays a game.
If that. I mean, he's not making a, I don't know. He's not making like a legitimate impact on the team. The team's horrible, right? Like it's not like you're.
He will be used like he was used his freshman year at Florida, obviously at a different position, but it will be a change of pace. He thinks that he can.
I don't even know that that matters. I don't even know that that matters that much at the tight end position. It's not like quarterback where you're bringing in a whole, it's just a different guy to guard, you know, like he's not,
I don't really know that. I think he's going to be used as your traditional tight end. If this actually happens, it'll be gimmicky.
Would you rather Trevor Lawrence throw a pass to, you know, like a 4-2 40 wide receiver or have Tim Tebow like handling the ball ever? Like that's kind of my, you know, it's like when they pull out a fake punt. Yeah. Like 4th and 2. And I'm just like, no, just let my athletes, like, you know, sorry, Eric, but just let my athletes go get that 2 yards. You know, so I don't know. He's got like a 50% chance of like making the roster. Right. Like, and if he does, I think that'll probably be political. Like he's just carrying him because, you know, leadership, whatever, all that.
Well, you know what I read the other day, which I do think
it's got like a 2% chance of like having any impact on the Jags whatsoever. Also, it's like a bad team. Like if you were there's a reason the Jags are the Jags, right? Like, because they do stuff like this. The day that their biggest day in Jags history, like getting Trevor Lawrence, is when this news dropped. Like, that is a Jags move. You don't see the Bucks out here doing this kind of stuff.
Right? It's going to sell tickets, and they're probably going to have 2 of the top 5 selling jerseys in the NFL, at least, to start the season if he makes a roster. So
I don't even know that they'll print his jersey. They don't print everyone's jersey. You can go get them customized.
You can't order it on their website currently. Like you can't customize it to say Tebow on the back of a jersey on the NFL website where you do those customized jerseys, which means they're planning on selling it. If you go to the NFL website, you go to the shop, it's NFLshop.com or whatever. You try and customize
clearly the Jags, you've tried to do this already.
Jersey. And I saw somebody trying to do it online.
Your team just won the Super Bowl and you're buying Jags stuff.
No, I don't wear jerseys. You know that. Anyway, so they're planning on marketing the hell out of this. This was on purpose. For sure they're printing his jersey. For sure they're planning on capitalizing it. I guarantee you if he makes a roster, it's top 5 in jersey sales. Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be number 1 in jersey sales or number 2 or, you know, somewhere in there. So they're going to have butts in the seats and they're going to sell merchandise, which is the 2 things that bring in revenue, and that's a great hit right off the bat.
So
I don't think he has any long-lasting impact. I don't think Urban Meyer's there longer than 3 years, though. So
I don't think – I don't know. Now, jersey sales are one thing because you'll have, like, you know, Gator fans that are living the highlights of 10, 15 years ago.
Where he lives or where the Jags are located.
I think you're going to – but I don't know that it sells a crazy ton more tickets more than like Lawrence did. You know, I think Lawrence coming in is kind of what sells the tickets. I'm not paying money
Gator fans as big a,
to watch
drive 2 hours
to watch
less
him sit on the bench. Like if he's not playing, I don't think it's going to matter. Maybe the first couple games, but once the Jags get off to their terrible start, I mean, Lawrence is going to come in and get them better.
Now, if he were in,
okay, here's the question. When they're 3-7, right? Because they're bad, right? Like Lawrence will get them better, but they're bad. There's a reason they picked number 1. So when they're 3-7 this year and there's a 1 o'clock game, and Tebow's caught two passes and played in three games. He's not selling tickets. Like, nobody cares by that point. So, I mean, maybe sell some tickets at the beginning.
I think it's the perfect storm, location-wise, coaching staff-wise, whatever, for him to make an impact on selling tickets. I think Jacksonville is basically the only place where he would have that impact. I'm not saying if he signed with Buffalo that they're selling way more seats because Tim Tebow's on their roster. I think it has to do with the fact that it's in Jacksonville. Urban Meyer's there. Charlie Strong is there. Like, people that are Gator fans want to see this experiment. And it's not like Jags games are empty anyway, but I'm just saying I think that this will have an impact, and it's because of the perfect storm of
I think it's
variables.
Nominal. I think it's nominal.
Well,
I think
we're going to find out.
I think that, well, and the ticket sales will increase overall. I'm just not, and there's no way to know whether or not.
Listen, even if they don't get Trevor Lawrence, they have Urban Meyer, they're going to increase.
I mean, maybe slightly. Yeah, for the first couple of games until they suck again.
They're going
just like anything else.
Trevor Lawrence by himself, different head coach. They're going to increase.
Correct.
But
I just don't think Tebow's really adding to that. Nobody's coming to see a third string tight end that's not even playing. Like, nobody's buying tickets to watch Tebow sit on the bench. They can watch him for free on SEC Network right now. You know?
I don't know. I think people are. I mean, and I don't know if there'll be a way for us to quantify that at the end or what, but I think that they will. I think that you'll see practices, as long as they're open, way more packed. But listen, that's also part of what's been an issue for Tim, all the places that he's been, right? He draws too much attention to sit on the bench as a backup quarterback. That's not how the NFL works. They don't,
well, because of publicity stunts like this.
Nobody wants, no, but take this away prior to this starting. You know, when he's trying to make the Jets, or he's trying, you know, wherever you are, the NFL operates in a way that the only person that they want to get any sort of attention, any sort of pub, is their stars. It's the same reason that Colin Kaepernick's not in there. I don't think Colin Kaepernick's good enough to be a starter in the NFL, but he's probably good enough to warm a bench. But guess what? You make a political statement, you make it about yourself, less people want you on your roster. And what Tim has done, which obviously a completely different thing, but it's the same. The NFL views it the same. And I do think that that's a large part.
Yeah, this
he's good enough
a big one
to hold a clipboard on an NFL roster. And you will never be able to convince me that there are, you know, whatever, four quarterbacks times 32 teams, better.
I mean, the Bucs only carried two quarterbacks last year, you know, Ryan Griffin and Tom Brady. And if one of them would have gotten hurt,
Tim Tebow didn't draw a crowd, he would have had a great 8, 9, 10 year career riding the pine and holding the clipboard. And the backup quarterback's
that was his fault. And that was his fault for not doing that.
But it's not his fault because he can't help the, I don't think that he
didn't want to do that. He didn't want to hold a clipboard. That's why he left.
No, he didn't leave. He was cut. He didn't leave. He tried the last place he was. He didn't make the roster. He didn't leave.
I mean, that's telling you something.
He would have been happy holding a clipboard, I think, but he can't control the attention that this monster created.
I mean,
there's no reeling this back in, right?
He could have with this one though.
Oh, with this one, absolutely. You know, he welcomed this.
I mean, when you've already busted out of two leagues and then you try and give it another go after being out of it for 10
he's
years.
He's welcoming whatever comes with this. But my point is that once he became as outspoken about his faith in college, there was no pushing all of that back into Pandora's box once he got to the pros. And most of the time he never even said anything after practice, but all of those people were still lined up to see him and to ask questions about him, even though it wasn't about him. I just think that is a large part of why he's not in there. There is no putting that back in Pandora's box. And you know, it is who he is, right? But this, obviously, any attention that comes from this, he completely brought on himself because he chose to do this. I'm interested to see, right? It's going to be an interesting ride. It may be a train wreck, but
I think it's going to have no impact because he doesn't make the roster, and if he doesn't,
that may
make the
be
roster,
exactly
never,
what it is. He may not make the roster at all, and then this is just a blip on the sports radar for a few weeks, and it is what it is.
Tim needed some attention when the Jags were having the number
one. I honestly will tell you though, I think it will sit better with Gator fans if he doesn't make this roster, because Tim Tebow does not make Urban Meyer's roster, it will be because Tim Tebow was not good enough to make Urban Meyer's roster. right? He will never cut him because of his beliefs. He'll never cut him because he thinks he's bringing in too much attention. He'll never, like, none of those things will be a factor here, which I think at the very least may then close the chapter for all of these people that have screamed for a decade now that he still belongs there.
Was anybody really still screaming that?
Yes.
Like,
are
we
you
watched him.
Yes.
Like, anyone besides that? Gator fans, because like,
no,
that doesn't count.
No.
Like, I do the same thing with Jameis. I get it. But you know, nobody else really cared.
No,
outside
no,
of
no. Gator fans. But there, I mean, US is the largest state university and has a bajillion people that graduated from there. So that's not a small percentage of people in our state.
I even think Gator fans were like, had moved on. Like, I think Gator fans are like on to new things now, right?
Well,
like,
not anymore. Now they're right back in 2007,
baby. I think that nobody really cared. I will say, shout out my guy, Darian. I've seen some Gator fans that are even like, dude, this is dumb. This is
my
like,
brother.
This is pointless.
But I will tell you.
I love him. I'm doing a pod with him next week. We're going to drink bourbon.
I was going to say, Scott Peak, who is a real estate developer, because Scott Peak Jr. is a real estate developer, probably doesn't get a whole lot of say about, you know, your name opening doors for you. So.
I hope he yells at you if he hears
I this. Told him that already. I was like, this is really rich that you think that it's crazy that he's got this privilege when that's literally why you have a job.
I do think it's funny that you just spoke the other day about, you know, the OTAs, the mandatory OTAs not being, because it might like impact somebody's chances to make a roster, and like Tebow's literally doing the same exact thing, but because you like him, it's okay.
No, you know, my thing about the OTAs,
it hurts the rookies. This is Tebow's taking a spot away from somebody else.
Yeah.
Tebow is not going to make an impact. And if he does, he's there for what, a year or two? And like, he's costing a
tight end, no matter who they are.
He's costing a rookie. He's costing a rookie a chance to get in there and shine.
Is a third string tight end, no matter who they are making it.
I mean, Tom Brady was a six round draft pick. So, I mean, possibly.
Interestingly, I did read that Tim is three NFL games away from being fully vested, which would mean that he would get his pension and health insurance.
Oh,
for
my
life
gosh. He's
the
so
NFL.
Loaded. He's so loaded. I'm not worried about that.
But it'll be interesting to see, you know.
He's so rich. It's not even.
I mean, he's taking a pay cut to do this, which is also an interesting.
Minor league baseball paying that much?
No, ESPN is.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make a minor league baseball joke. I feel like if you're not good enough to make. Never mind. If you can't make it to like double A, then you're not going to be like an NFL tight end, right? Like, is that?
I mean, I think there's zero correlation there.
Like, if you can't, if like you're not able to.
Have
do
you
that,
seen lots but. Of the guys that play Major League Baseball? Do you think that they would even sniff a football field? Because last I checked, there wasn't a whole lot of beer bellies outside of on the offensive line.
Who would be your first draft pick if you had to pick like an MLB player? Like, who's the first one you're going for the for the NFL?
That is an interesting question. I don't know. Bryce Harper or Mike Trout? I don't know.
Yeah, my first thought would be Mike Trout, but then I just kind of thought like, okay, well, there has to be a pitcher could, you know, that like played quarterback in high school or something like that. So you at least know he has an arm, right? Like, you don't need somebody super athletic, you know, they could just kind of like not get hit and throw the ball. So I don't know. That's a good question, but Mike Trout, just because he's so athletic.
Yeah.
Feel like he could just run the ball. He'd be like Christian McCaffrey. I feel like basically the same guy. They just play different sports. All right. Speaking of football, we're obviously split and nobody's shocked by that, by our Tebow takes, but yeah, it's worthless. It's dumb and they shouldn't have done it, but you know, good luck to them. I'm just glad I get to make the joke that he's failed out of three leagues now. So instead of two.
I mean, it's the same league, whether you fail out ten times.
Three times is fine then. You're right. You're helping me write the jokes at this point.
I was going to say, if that's the case, he's failed out more than three times because he's been cut from more than two NFL rosters.
Man, well, you're the one that's writing my jokes for me. So,
oh my God. I mean, you know what? I don't really see the harm in it. I don't think that it'll work. But I don't really see the harm in it. And if
it's like most things in 2021. It's a publicity stunt.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I think it is. And I think that the Jags will probably get some good, you know, bumps from it. And, you know, worst case scenario, he doesn't make the roster. Best case scenario, it's a freaking cool story. Who cares? Either way, it's not that big of a deal.
It's just dumb. Speaking of dumb, this this 17 game schedule is dumb to me. We'll talk about the Bucks schedule real quick and then we'll get out of here since this was the Mother's Day and Tebow show. But this 17 game schedule, I'm not a big fan of. I know a lot of players weren't big fans of. There is a stretch where, and the NFL is like so full of crap, right? Like they're so about player safety and concussion protocol and this, that, and the other. But adding a game to the schedule, when injuries, I mean, money, right? It's just another week of revenue. So when injuries were at an all-time high last year and you've got guys coming off of a weird COVID year and everything else, adding a game to the schedule, is just stupid. Now, I mean, I'll enjoy it. I'll enjoy the extra week of football. Like I'm not necessarily upset about that, but there's a stretch where the Saints have five games and then a bye, and then they play the rest of their games. They have a stretch of 12 consecutive games.
That's nuts.
That's definitely insane. There's nothing that says player safety about that, you know? Yeah. You know, Bucks schedule is a little more favorable because the bye is a little bit more towards the middle. So, I mean, great, but I mean, whatever, you know, it's more games. It's, you know, and when you're the reigning champs, you don't necessarily want more games. Like you're fine. I'm fine with the regular. Yeah. I want less games. I know that. More chances for somebody to get hurt or whatever. I mean, the schedule is really, really nice for the Bucks this year. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs again. And it's just, can they get hot again in the right time? And if so, they'll win. You know, if not, you know, I mean, it's probably going to be Tampa Bay and Kansas City again, to be honest. But like, I think that the schedule addition is stupid. Just kind of bring that up because the schedule release is tonight.
So there's one less preseason game, though, right?
Like Brady wasn't playing any preseason game. He plays.
Yeah, but honestly, I'd rather one less preseason game and one more regular season game if I get to pick.
I think there should just be less preseason games.
But that is how guys make rosters.
I mean, we don't care about that if we're in Jacksonville and we're going out for the tight end position. So who cares? I think that it's dumb. The Bucks play. So I think the Bucks, so 17 games this year, right? The best the Bucks have ever done is 12-4 in the Super Bowl year. I think the Bucks have a really good chance of beating that record and getting to like 13 wins. So. Yeah. The schedule isn't released, so it's tough to know exactly how these games fall. But if we go game by game and just try and be somewhat conservative here, I don't know that I see the Bucks losing like 5 or 6 games. Like I think at worst they go 12-5, and if not, probably better. So let's look at them real quick. They play Dallas on opening night, Thursday night. That one actually has been announced.
Right.
I think they beat Dallas.
The whole season. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, Dak will be coming back. You know, certainly Dallas is much better with him than without him. If for some reason his rehab didn't have him back yet, I mean, the Bucs win going away. They've kind of struggled against some running teams, so Zeke is good, but I think the Bucs win that game, like at home. They play the Falcons twice. I think that's 2 wins. They play the Panthers twice. I think that's 2 wins. And then if we're being conservative, we always kind of struggle with New Orleans once. Like, let's say we split with New Orleans, right? That's kind of, you know, it's tough to sit here and predict we're going to go 6-0 in the division. So I think 5-0 is fair, or 5-1 is fair. So then you're looking at 6-1 with opening night in the division. They play the Rams at the Rams, who obviously just got Matt Stafford. I think that's a tough game. I think that's a game that we could lose. They play at New England. That's a win. Cam's not any good. They play at the Jets. That's a win. They play at the Eagles. That's a win. At home, they play the Giants, terrible. They play the Bills, so that's a win. They play the Bills at home. That will be a tough game. The Bills are good. They were in the AFC Championship. I think we win that, but like just for argument's sake, like let's call that a loss. We're up to 3 losses now. The final 4 games are Miami, Chicago, Washington, and Indy, 4 teams that were 500 or below last year, none of them being very good. New quarterbacks on 3 of those rosters. I think we beat all 4 of those teams too. So like if you're being generous and saying like generous with the losses, I mean, you maybe you lose in New Orleans once. Maybe you lose to the Bills, who are a good team. Maybe you lose at the Rams. And then every other game, they should win. Now, they'll probably lose one more because you're just going to lose one that you're not expecting. But I think at worst, they're going like 13-4, you know?
Yeah.
12-5 at the very worst. And I don't think the Saints will be as good as their record was last year because their schedule gets much tougher. And they lost Breeze. So I think that the Bucs win the division easily. So, but I'm very annoyed about the extra game. So that's my quick Bucs schedule breakdown.
I'm not annoyed by it, but I could see why players would be annoyed by it. But
13-4. I'm not necessarily annoyed at getting more football. I'm annoyed at like the double standard of like, oh, player safety, and they really don't give a crap. So I'm just in an annoyed mood because of the whole Tebow thing. And because Eric didn't get you a purse.
Right.
I'm very upset about that. All right. I think that's it. Oh, some sad news.
Yeah.
We'll end with this. You can go with the sad news. I don't want to talk about
it. Colt Brennan, who was quarterback for Hawaii, finished sixth in the Heisman voting in 2006, passed away. He kind of had a troubled past. Like, I can remember watching the story on him with the Heisman, and it had something to do about him being elsewhere. I want to say off the top of my head, Colorado, but I'd have to look that up. I think he got accused of like rape or some kind of sexual assault, got accused of something. And so transferred to Hawaii. A lot of places wouldn't give him another shot. Hawaii did. And he made a name for himself. Hawaii was exciting to watch back then. That's when Eric was in college too. We were seniors the same year that he was a senior. So we followed his career. I like have vivid memories of watching him play. He was incredible. He was great. It was University of Colorado. Damn, I'm good. He started as a walk-on at the University of Colorado as well, which is interesting. But he was found in a hotel room unresponsive. He had actually tried to check himself into a rehab facility earlier in the day and was turned away because there was not an empty bed, which that is that's really sad. That's horrible. You know, you need help. You try to get help and you are turned away. His family has said that they believe that whatever type of pain pill he took was actually laced with fentanyl. And they said he lost consciousness and never regained it. So Colt Brennan dead at 37, which is just tragic.
Yeah, no, that's awful and horrible. And I think the fact that he was trying to get help just makes it, kind of all the worse.
It makes it that much worse, right?
Yeah, like, when you see – it's sad when people die, under almost any circumstance, right? But it when somebody – when somebody's – I don't know. I don't want to talk on other situations. But, yeah, it definitely hits a little harder because of the fact that he was trying to get help and it didn't – didn't pull one of these intentional overdoses like some people do. Just get nothing. I'll say another one. Not that that's not sad or anything, but there's a little different level when, somebody intentionally takes their own life and accidentally, but it didn't seem like an overdose where he's taking pain pills, right? Or, not that that's great.
He was in a horrific car accident after college as well. And I read something, and I don't know if this is true or not, and this doesn't make it better, but I read that he got a pain pill addiction from recovering from this car accident, which
is pretty common. Like, I've got some family members and stuff that I have family members that have very similar situation, have messed up their backs and stuff. And the only way they can kind of get through the day without just laying in the bed and crying is to take pain pills, and they've gotten addicted, like legitimately had to go to rehab and stuff, like get out of it, So it's a very tough spot to be in because nobody starts taking pain pills. I don't say nobody, but like when people are taking pain pills because their back is messed up or they got a car accident or their neck or whatever, just to kind of get through the day, it's different to me than somebody who picks up heroin or whatever, right? It's much, much different. So incredibly sad, awful news. And, obviously just prayers up to his family because that's terrible. But yeah, man, so young. Yeah. And he was, that Hawaii offense was a ton of fun. We talked about it off air. Yeah. A ton of fun to watch back in the day.
Eric and I are 36 and this is our peer, right? This is somebody that was living college football while we were living college football that, you know, was at award shows, up for awards with people that were on Eric's team. Like this is very real to us. And it's really sad. It's really, really sad. Yeah.
So, brutal news, but wanted to kind of finish there so we didn't have to bring it back up. Maybe you'd have been a little more tame for your Tebow talk if we'd have done it at the beginning, but, anyway, so we appreciate you guys hanging out. May have some interesting changes coming up to the show. I know we teased that a few months ago or a few weeks ago, but, definitely have some things kind of in the works, some changes there coming out. So stay tuned. Appreciate the support, and we will talk to you guys next week. See ya.